I want to start out talking this morning about the war on Christmas. Yeah, and if you've been here any length of time, you know this is not, it's like, wait a minute. No, he's not doing what we think we're going to do. I want to go back and talk about when Christmas was banned by that group of militant hedonists, the one who hated all things Christian, the Puritans. Yeah, exactly. 1647, the Puritan-led English Parliament banned the celebration of Christmas, replacing it with a day of fasting and considering it, quote, a popish festival with no biblical justification and a waste full of time and full of immoral behavior. I know, you're thinking, wait a minute, the Puritans banned Christmas? And it happened not just in England, it happened here in America too. In the 1640s, late 1640s, the Puritans actually convinced the city of Boston to ban Christmas, saying it was full of drunkenness and revelry and everything else and too much partying going on. So let's get rid of Christmas. And it's kind of interesting just to think about the fights that have gone on over the nature of Christmas. I was doing some reading this week just on some of those cultural battles and how those have played out over literally the centuries. And some of them, though, the ones you expect with the communists trying to ban Christmas in Russia in the 20s. Some of them you don't expect, like the Puritans banning Christmas for being too popish. But there is this long history of fights over the nature of Christmas. And what was really interesting is I was reading about some of the more modern ones, particularly some of the stuff that you traditionally associate with those terms that I use, the war on Christmas, like fights over advertising, advertisers using Christmas or not using the term Christmas in their celebrations. You get the feeling it's almost people just want to fight. And it's kind of like, I don't care if there's a war on Christmas. If there's not, I'm going to start it. Okay? And the focus is on the war, not on the Christmas. But it happens. And I was thinking a lot about this week, and what's really interesting is C.S. Lewis, being C.S. Lewis, diagnosed this a long time ago. And he wrote this fascinating little satire called A Lost Chapter from Herodotus, because it's Lewis, so he always brings in stuff. But he paints this idea that there's these two holidays at the same time. There's Xmas, which is all the commercial activity and the parties and everything else. And there's other Christmas, which is the religious celebration. He says these two things happen at the same time. And he imagines this narrator asking a priest, why does this all happen at the same time? And the priest says, it's not lawful, O stranger, for us to change the dates of the religious celebration. But would that the gods would put it in the minds of the people to keep the religious celebration at some other time or not to keep it at all? For all the stuff distracts the minds of the few from the sacred. And we are indeed glad that men should make merry, but at this time there's no merriment left. And why, asked, this all endured, he says, O stranger, it's a racket. See, there's this thing where we crowd out the religious celebration with all the parties and everything else. And it's not that we're against the parties and the celebration and the gift giving and the cookies and the whole nine yards. It's all fun. But the problem is that sometimes we crowd out the celebration of what God did with those things. And there's no time and there's no energy left. But here's the crazy thing. Sometimes all the religious stuff crowds out Jesus too. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in all the religious festivities that we forget about Jesus. My wife used to work at a church. And they started the last Christmas Eve service at midnight. And it was this two-hour-long choir festival. And again, I want to say this. It started at midnight. Okay? And the choir sang. And they sang. And nothing against those of you who are in the choir. But they started at midnight. Okay? And I remember her getting home. And she just slept on the couch for 3 days. I'd just come over periodically and poke her to make sure she was still breathing. She just kind of just wave at me, and then she just slept for another couple of days. The problem is that we get so wrapped up in traditions, even within the church, that we forget what Christmas is. That Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. It is the greatest gift given, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem so that we might have eternal life. It sets in motion this part of the story where Jesus is born in this stable, and he goes from there to his ministry, to eventually to the cross, and then to new life. And he sets this all in motion through what happened there that cold night. And what I want to do is peel this back just a little bit to ask you this central question of Christmas. As Pastor Joe was talking about on Christmas Eve, we throw a lot of stuff into the story. We just add to it. All these embroiderments, these embellishments. There's no Mary riding on the donkey. There's no grumpy innkeeper. There's none of that stuff. In fact, let me just read to you how short, how simple this passage is. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them. They were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on earth whose favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And they had seen him, and they spread word concerning what had been told around this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard, was just as they had been told. See, I'm developing this theory that when we add things to this time, when we add the parties and the stories and the gifts and everything else, we're trying to fill in some gap that we don't have. We fill in all the busyness because of our own insecurity. We fill in all the pieces of the story, all the celebrations, because we're looking for stability. We focus on these cultural questions because we're looking for something that we can rely on. And I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you need out of this Christmas story? Not what is it you want, but what is it you need? The shepherds showed up that night looking for a king. They found a baby, and yet they went out and they rejoiced. They celebrated what God had done, and they told everyone that they had met. And often I'm afraid that we get so lost and so trapped in all these other questions that we forget to look for that baby. So my thought for you this morning is that if you are looking for that stability, if you are looking for that meaning, if you are looking for that fresh start, if you are looking for that hope, come back to that original story. Pare away all those cultural questions. Pare away all those fights that we have. Pare away all those things that just kind of seem to crowd out that story of the manger. And say, what does this mean for me today? Who is this Messiah? Because he has come that you can have new life and new hope. We celebrate that. We are reminded of that with everything that he does. This story does not end on Christmas. It doesn't even end on Easter. It continues for our life that we have hope always. And so in a midst of the world that seems to constantly change, in a midst of the world that seems to constantly be fighting, take this certainty with you that Jesus Christ was born that you would have eternal life, that you would have hope, and you would have meaning in a world that constantly changes, that rock is there forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the joy that those shepherds had, that joy that echoes down through the generations to today. And we pray that you would be glorified in our lives and that we would do everything to celebrate what you have done for us. Amen.